together. Can't we? Yes, we can. Let's all stand up. If you're able to stand. If you'd like to stand. And let's sing a good oldie. Not very old, but kind of oldie. 1, 2, 3, 4. continue praising the Lord together. You are God. He's the only God. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, Thank you.
everybody. Just like Garen said, my name's Amy, and I'm the kids ministry leader here at Real Life, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about summer camp. So if you have a third through fifth grader, now is the time to register them for camp. Registration closes on June 5th. Camp is a very important time in a child's life. It's when their faith starts becoming more of their own and not just their parents' faith. It's also a chance for other volunteers to invest in your child's life and to speak the same truths you're speaking at home. So make sure that you register them shortly because we only have 2 weeks left before it closes. I would also love to thank everyone who has financially supported the kids' camp so far. It's greatly appreciated. However, we still have a few kids that would love to go to camp, and we're just a little short on funds. So if you can financially give, I would love for you to consider that. And thank you for investing in the next generation.
Amy, can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Where can they register at?
You can register at rlmsb.com.
Frank Durham. I'm here to tell you what's happening this week at Real Life Ministries. On Friday, May 26th, from 7 to 10, Shoshone Medical Center will be doing free blood screening for seniors. Hey, do you have some softball skills? Make sure to sign up to get on the co-ed softball team. Sign up in the next 2 weeks at the Connecting Point. And if you've already signed up and you haven't paid, pay up. Hey, if you haven't picked up your baby bottle for the Baby Bottle Boomerang for Hope Pregnancy Center, please pick one up at the Connecting Point. Stuff it with all your loose change. And also, that bottle will hold dollar bills, so stuff it with a few of those as well. But get that back before Father's Day so we can get that turned in. Thank you. Hey, if you haven't gotten signed up for RL Kids Summer Camp, please get yourself signed up. Get your kids signed up. That's third through fifth grade. Camp is June 19th through the 22nd, and the last day to sign up is June 5th. So get yourself a spot to learn all about what God's got for you while you're having fun. Dare to Imagine Summer Camp's coming up July 24th through the 27th. Get some information at the Connecting Point. Talk to Sherry White. This is grades 1st through 8, and they are looking for some adult volunteers, so get out there and have some fun with these kids. Make sure you also get signed up for one-way summer camp that's happening July 22nd through 25th. And the cost is $75. You can register for that online. Fill out the permission forms at rlmsb.com. And that summer camp is for grades 6 through 12. INBC will be hosting a blood drive here on June 11th from 9 o'clock until 12:30, parked here in the parking lot of the church. So come prepared to give blood. Last year we gave 24 units, so let's break that record this year and participate, save somebody's life. Hello, ladies. Hey, on June 17th, Master Gardener Tommy Lyle will be here to show you how to grow some flowers, some beautiful flowers, and give you some good skills on this year's growing season. So contact Christina Mays for more information.
Man, this is a happening place. You guys got things going on all over the place, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, I am super excited and blessed to be here. Both my wife and I, my wife Tina, we stand up in the back there, my lovely bride, are excited to be back. New doings for the Turbin family since we were here last. On December 28th, we became grandparents for the first time. So that's been exciting. And that's just a whole nother experience. I don't sleep the night before little Owen comes over and spends the day with us, right? So like I said, super excited, honored, blessed that you guys would ask me here. I'm a little bummed. Whose idea was it to put me after the youth week? And you got youth testimonies and that, and that's going to be a pretty tough act to follow. So I'm going to do my best. I was listening to Garen and the team's message last week and was super encouraged. I hope you guys were, just the heart of that, one of the things that we always say as a church is that we are on mission for Christ. And I love what Garen had to say that not just here at home, I hope we are doing that, but to be thinking about where would God be calling us to support, to serve, to reach outside, the four walls of our church and the boundaries of our community. And also with that, something that I think we need to remember. And if you don't understand the impact of what Garen said about passing this on to the next generation, maybe a quick perusal through Judges would give you an idea what happened to God's church when it does not get passed down to that next generation. So anyway, hope you guys are ready to roll. We are going to continue through the study of Romans that you guys have been on. And so I'm going to really quick, yes, I will pray, but I want to spend a moment here just reading through the passage first and let that settle in as we pray. So this week we are going to be in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And I'll be, you can see on my notes there, other than one verse, surprise at the end, we're going to be reading through the ESV. And so it says here, what then shall we say to these things? Speaking of all those things that Paul had been writing about before and that we heard about in the previous weeks. If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed has interceded for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much, God, for bringing us here this evening to spend time together and worship through song and prayer and communion and also, Lord, through your word. God, I'd ask for each and every one of us that your Holy Spirit opens our heart and our mind to what you would say to us. God, I'd ask for myself that I would say nothing more or less than your word and your spirit would lead me to. So God, thank you for being our God and calling us to be your people, your church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Super excited to be here. Bummed. I love your pastor, Gene, and his wife, Christy. So bummed that we don't get to see him on this trip. If you guys haven't, spend time or take time to thank your elders for sending them on a sabbatical. Maybe you just wanted Gene out of your way for a while. And the downside was Christy went with him. So that would probably be a little bit bummer for some of you. But what an essential time for them to reconnect with God, to reconnect with each other. So if you haven't done that, that is a huge, huge opportunity for them that wouldn't have been done without the eldership that God has placed here at Real Life Ministries Silver Valley. So make sure you take time to thank them. And also be praying for Gene and Christy, that this is not only a time of rest, but also a time of growth for them. So like I said, super sad we didn't get to see them, but it's a great opportunity for Tina and I to come over and spend time with you guys. So last 2 weeks ago, your elder Brad brought us through the beginning passages of this chapter, started in the middle, Romans 8, verses 18 through 28. And again, love what Brad said. He was a bit of a downer at the beginning. Life's going to stink, right? Did everybody hear that from Brad? We're going to suffer. Things are going to be tough. Deal with it. And I thought he was going to end there, but he didn't. But he said some pretty cool things that, because the beginning of our passage tonight, it says, then what shall we say to these things? So we have to go back for a minute and look at what are the things that this passage is talking about. And so we've got a couple of weeks gap here. And, things that Brad said is, he brought out some reasons. So why do we suffer, right? One, we choose to make decisions that cause us suffering. Amen. I mean, how many have been there that, you're like, well, this kind of stinks. But when you really look at it, it's I made the mess. And so I'm going to suffer for it. Sad thing is oftentimes that also causes suffering around us. The other thing Brad had shared with us was, we're not willing to change, and God is trying to show us, either maybe God wants us to grow up and we're not willing to grow up and take responsibility, and that causes suffering in us and around us. It's too stubborn to realize what God is doing. He also said that God uses suffering to help us grow, things, to change us, to educate us, to challenge us. And there's times that we suffer, and it's not necessarily because of things that we did, but God wants to do a work in us. And I was thinking about this. I struggle. I do not like growing this way, through suffering. But I think back, and I played sports all through my school in raising. And I was willing to go out and lift weights and to run and do things that caused me to suffer physically and a bit mentally just to become a better athlete. Why would I not be willing to take a little bit of suffering to grow as a disciple of Christ? And so when he was preaching on that, that hit me quite a bit. And Brad, I'm probably not going to quote him exactly, but he basically was saying in the midst of suffering, God wants to use us. But that is a prime time, too, that Satan wants to confuse us. So if we're not connected in the way we need to be with God, it's easy for Satan to get in and start causing confusion in the work that God is wanting to do with us. So, but in the end, here's what makes suffering unmanageable is when we don't allow Christ to carry us through. Because the truth is, as long as we live this side of heaven, and as long as we continue to have an enemy, we have flesh and we have our own sin struggle, there is going to be suffering in this world. But we have a God in heaven who loves us and will carry us through. And so we're going to talk quite a bit about that as we go through our passage this evening. So there was a couple of verses we didn't hit between what Elder Brad preached and what I'm going to be preaching tonight. But I think it's important that I'm going to read through those quick to set us up as we enter in to verse 31. So if you go with me, I'm going to start in verse 28, which was the last verse that Brad had preached on, and it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." Man, I know that is a tough one when you are in the midst of trial or suffering, but that absolutely is true. And then in 29, he goes on to say, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified." I'm going to pause here for a minute. There's no way we have time tonight to unpack those last two verses. Okay? And maybe you're new to church, you're new to Scripture, but in the church world, those two verses cause massive amounts of division. And it's a doctrine called predestination. Yes, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's called the doctrine of predestination or election. So I'm not going to hit into those two. You know, one of those says that God created some from the very beginning to go to heaven, some to go to hell. And then there's another side that says, no, God is an all-knowing God. He's not bound by time like we are, right? He lives outside of time, and even though he's with us right now, he knows the beginning from the end already, okay? So we are not going to fight like Satan for the things of God. So I don't know which way you stand. I'm not going to land either. But here's what we can pull from these verses, okay? I don't think God gave these two verses to us to debate and to argue and battle about, because they come, it's at the end of such key passages about what suffering is about. And really, here's what God is saying. From the very beginning, I knew who was going to choose me and who wasn't. Who was going to respond to my calling? Scripture says nobody comes to the Father lest they be drawn. And he knew who was going to respond to us. But here's what I also know. Is in Matthew 24, he says, many are called, few are chosen. In 2 Peter 3:9, we have a God that not wanting anyone to perish. And in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. And this passage is telling us, no matter what your life is facing, God knew this trial was going to come and he wasn't going to leave you and abandon you during it. Because here's what I don't want us to be. I don't want us to be a people that are arguing about a thing that only God knows. We have a God that, if I knew everything about him, it's just an impossibility. But oftentimes, we as Christians, we as a church, sorry, it's a bit of a soapbox for me here, but we spend time arguing about things of God when God's just trying to tell us how much he loves us while our neighbors are going to hell. And let's not be that church. This is great conversation, great discussion. But let's not take it to a place God never intended. But to move on, at the end of this passage that Brad had preached to you guys a couple weeks ago, these are actually tremendously powerful verses that says God knew all this. And he said that he was going to be there for us. So here's how Paul starts to sum up this whole long thought. Thought he has. So go back with me to Romans 8:31. And again, he says, what then shall we say of these things? For if God is for us, who can be against us? He always has been, and he always will be. For if God is for us, who can be against us? Do you really believe that when you read it? It's easy to believe that on the good days. In fact, more often than not for me, when things are going good, it's actually easier for me to forget that God's there. It's when things are going tough and I'm like, God, where are you? You know, what are you doing? And it's hard because sometimes I think we read through these passages and go, oh yeah, that's true. And then a day, a week, a month, a year down the road, we get in a tough spot and we forget. And I think that's why Paul's writing this. I was thinking about faith, you know, putting our faith in God. I can say I believe that's true, but do I live a life that actually reflects that if God's for me, and who can be against me? If I could use an analogy, you to take a stool. And I know this is simple and silly, okay, but I believe and I know that that is a stool. But it's not until I actually put my faith in it holding my just over above 150-pound frame in it that it's not a stool to me. If I never use it to support me, to help me, it's still a stool, right? It doesn't stop being what it is. But it's nothing to me until I put my faith in it. And how many times do we do that with God? I say I believe that about God. But when a tough day comes, I am just snapping at everybody. I'm sitting this right here purposely because I can't see my wife's face right now. And, oh, there she is looking around. Because she knows what I'm talking about. You know, it's the woe is me, the Eeyore syndrome. Now, I'm not saying that when things are tough, I better put this back over here. She's going to fall on her keister when she comes back. I'm not saying when times are tough, we fake it and act like there's nothing wrong. You know, we need to be honest and open and transparent. I'm sure you hear it from Pastor Gene and you see it in his life. But do we live a life, even during the bad times, that our God is there? And I mean, that's just right in the very first verse that we're looking at. So a couple things I want you to think about. When was the last time you were depressed regarding a life situation? When was the last time you loathed or feared having to enter into a conversation that was going to be a tough one with someone you don't like? When was the last time you questioned the success of anyone saying, why can't that be me? That's suffering for some of us. I work hard. How come they have a better car or a nicer house or a better spouse or better kids? Now, we're human, and those thoughts are going to come into our mind. But think about the last time one of those was you. And did you think, even during this, my God's for me, so who can be against me? I got to deal with that coworker, but you know what? God's going to be right there leading me. Because see, it doesn't do us any good to read Scripture if we don't put our sanctified imagination on and go, what does that mean to me? Because here's the reality. I'm not going to go into the depths of it, but at this time, persecution of the Christians was rampant. I'm trying to imagine the Christians that read this when Paul wrote this letter to Romans. Nero was in control. And here's the type of guy Nero was. Here's how much he liked Christians. That's us. So put yourself back in the time of Paul when Nero was leading. This is the suffering that Paul's talking about. Christians were used as lampposts. He'd tie them up and light them on fire to light roadways during occasions. He'd use them as lighting in his stadium during the games. He used them to light his garden. This is the suffering that Paul's addressing. And when I think about that and go, because it's easy for me to read it and go, Paul, you don't have any idea what I'm going through. Right? Some of you have been overseas on missions trip and had to work with underground churches and see that that's not a yesterday thing, that's a today thing. But oftentimes we think, well, not here in the U.S., but here's the deal. Life and death is not physical. And if we can get our minds out of that, how we live this truth out is eternal life and death. And we get the opportunity to help bring others to know God through how we deal through tough things. So before we move on from this verse, it says, so if God is for me, who can be against me? I'm a guy. It's like, yeah, God's for me. I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want, be whatever I want, because God's on my side. That passage is not saying that I get a boast. But it does say I got to live in a confidence, not a confidence in myself, but a confidence in my God. Does that make sense? So let's move on to verse 32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? It's a very interesting word there. Because Paul very easily could have wrote, or the Holy Spirit very easily could have had Paul write, for God did not spare his son, but he didn't. It says, for God did not spare his own son. Think about that. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. If you want to question how much God loves you, question whether or not you would sacrifice one of your children for your greatest enemy. Would you be willing to take the life of one of your child so that your greatest enemy could live? Because those of us who are sinners and are those who are against God are his enemies. And at that time, that was everyone. And God said, you know what? I don't want this the way to be this way. And the only way to undo it is to send my son. Oftentimes we think we got a God that's trying to make things hard on us, or we set rules, or believe we had a God that's trying to make it hard for us to get into heaven. And here's the truth and the reality of it. God has done everything to make a path back to a right relationship with him. But not only that he's going to be with us every step of the way, the minute we respond to his call on our life. Paul is saying that our ultimate destiny is in the hands of a holy, all-powerful, sovereign, righteous, loving, personal God, and that this is a cause for rejoicing. Even during these times of suffering. I love what Psalms 118:6 says. It says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We know who wrote that. This is King David. And that's a dude that for the majority of his late adolescent life was running from a king that had been appointed by God. It was written by a man who had a little bit of a struggle in choices he made in his marriage, in choices he made in his family. Lost a child, had children turn on him, and had pretty much the whole world wanting to take him down. And he writes, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man, can you imagine just in our world? I got a neighbor, and he can be a bit of an ornery codger. You know, he's a bit of a know-it-all, and he's got all the get-rich-quick schemes and the way to get around the cable thing and all that stuff. And, you know, he's got an answer for everything. There is nothing under the sun you can teach or tell this guy. But every week during communion, this is one of the people that I pray for every week. Think about it. We're talking about Paul and, you know, Christians being burned and David and running for his life. And, you know, when I look at the suffering and the struggles that I have and the times that I struggle, whether or not God's there, it's, man, do I go across the road and try to find an opportunity to share Christ with them? Try to just be Christ in a positive way. So I'm getting better and working on that. But I got neighbors behind me, and that's a whole nother story. I need a lot of prayer for them and for me in dealing with them. But when you think about it, again, it's easy for us to read the text and go, that's all good and well. But how are we going to apply that in our lives? Maybe you're dealing with something where you've got, you know, a marriage that's ready just to be thrashed. And it's in the dumps and you see no end in sight. Do you know that God's there? You're battling an illness or you have someone else for no good reason. Do you know and believe that God is there? And if you read through Romans, the more you get through it, this is just going to be a common theme. Romans 4:25, he talks about us being delivered up from our trespasses. Because he's the one that justified us, not because of what we did, or can do or what we say, but because of what he's done and who he is. Just a few weeks ago, you heard that there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. Because for me, when I want to try to get on the right track, I got that enemy going, you're not good enough. There's a reason you're going through this. You know what? And that might be true. My suffering, my struggle might have been my cause. But I got a God that, oftentimes we think that God's up in heaven and we sin, he's going, oh my goodness, I never expected that from Greg. No. I think our sin breaks God's heart, but I don't think it surprises him. And even when I sin or struggle and cause my own suffering, remember the passage with the prostitute and Jesus? And he says, who condemns you? And he says, he basically communicates that he doesn't. Not that she wasn't in sin, but he knew at that moment she owned up to her part. And he's like, I don't condemn you. How many of you struggle with that? Getting over the hump because you caused the problem. And you just drift and drift and drift into deeper suffering and deeper struggle and further away from trusting in God. That's not what he wants for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost. That means the worst of us. Okay? Who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I don't know, maybe how I'm reading this is wrong, but it's like when I screw up, Jesus is going, oh God, let me tell you. Father, I want to tell you about Greg. I know he's a screw up half the time. But you know what? He really does love you. That's what this passage in Hebrews tells us. Moving on here. So I kind of broke this out. In the way Paul wrote this, verses 35 through 39, I don't know if he did this intentionally or if it was just because he's quite the learned guy. These verses are what they call a chiasm. Okay, there's a very specific way that Paul wrote this. And it's called an inverted parallelism, okay? So he comes into it one way, hits his point, and then he comes back out of it again. So give me a little grace. I'm going to break this up a bit. I hope you're okay with that. But starting in verse 35, or continuing, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So through Christ we can conquer anything the world throws at us. Through Christ we can conquer anything the world throws at us. Now here's what that doesn't say. A lot of times when we think conquerors, and you got to remember, here's where the Jews missed it. They thought that that meant that Jesus was going to come, the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to overthrow the ruling government, whatever it was. It was the Rome at that time, and that conquer meant they were going to win, and they were going to have the nice houses and the nice cars and the best jobs, and everything was going to be good again. That's not the conquering that the Old Testament prophesied about the Messiah, and that's not what Paul's talking about either. That word conquer means that we will get through it, that it will not overtake us, that it will not overtake the gospel message that we proclaim. So verse 35, the perseverance, this R.C. Sproul wrote this, says the perseverance of the believers is not due to the intrinsic power of faith. Okay, so it's for me to get through something, I can't sit there and go, make this better. It's not my faith that's going to get me through it. That's not where the power comes of it. But due to the grace of God who has promised that he will finish what he starts. Man, if I just pray harder and if I just try harder, I'll get through it. God will love me more. God will take this sickness away. God will heal this relationship. Now, those are things we should do. But if I believe it's what I do that is the ultimate power that's going to get me through things, man, I'm starting down the wrong track. Moving on to verse 36, it quotes a passage out of Psalms 44:22 that says again, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." You know, I read through this one a few times, and I don't know how many times. I mean, we just finished in our Sunday morning biblical education class. We just finished going through Romans. And even in some deep study through it, I did not see this point that Paul was making through quoting this verse from Psalms. But here's one of the things I think Paul's saying through it. God's people have always been persecuted. Most often, with no greater thought than putting a sheep to death. Look at that passage again. "For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." The author of that's writing about what's going on in the attacks that are being put on them. And here's why I think Paul writes that is, man, if you think that that's going to stop this side of heaven, you are sadly mistaken. This is what sin does. This is why God hates sin. And this is what the world looks like without a God to follow, to be obedient to trust in, to have faith in. And I think he's reminding those he's writing to is not to be a pessimist, but if you're living the life that if I just do the right thing, that I will never have another struggle again. If God just loved me enough, that I'm never going to have another battle. I'm never going to have to suffer again. And how many of us live with the mindset, if only, or until? And you're not even living in the midst of the life that God's given us right here and now. And I think that's what Paul is writing at, is trying to change their perspective and go, you know what? This is the way it's going to be until Christ returns. There are going to be trials and struggles and tough times. How many of us, I mean, just look at the country we live in. In the last election that we went through as a country. And I'm not going to stand on either side, the Republican or the Democratic side. But was there a few people going, "That's not fair." Right? But you know what? We even do that in our Christian walk. That's not fair that somebody's persecuting the bakery down the street because of who they choose to serve and who they didn't choose to serve. And so somebody's going to have to pay, right? And how we deal with that, that's what Paul's talking about. Man, we got to put it, what is God saying to us through this passage? He's saying, you know, telling us to just lay down and take it, but he's going, quit whining when it does. Because that's what sin does in a world. But I'm glad he doesn't stop with that verse, because that would have really stunk. Regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, he goes on in verse 37 and says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." 1 Corinthians 15:57 said, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Revelations 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood." That's the thing we need to worry about. I mean, we need to acknowledge and have compassion and deal with the physical struggle we have here on earth. But how many times do we forget that God has already healed us and has taken us through our biggest problem? That's our sin. When we deal with life here in this physical world. And he moves right on to make a point here. Let's go through verse 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers. This verse right here, Paul is mainly referring to that passage that says we do not battle against things that are flesh and blood, but a spiritual battle that's going on. He goes on to say, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't know if Paul is referring to the stars or angelic powers as he continues, or the heaven or hell, or that. But if we go back to verses 28 through 30, here's what Paul is telling us. That it is not fate that determines the lives of us, but it's the faithfulness of Jesus. It's not fate. And here's the hard thing, and I think this is why Paul wrote this passage, is he's in a way trying to answer how can, you know, why does evil happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there evil and sickness in that in the world? And he's basically saying it's because of sin, but do not lose heart. He's not saying don't deal with it, don't cry over it, don't mourn. He's not saying any of that, but he's like, man, when we lose heart, is when people look at us and go, so who's your God? First Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10 says, for God has not destined us for wrath. Remember what I said? We do not have a God trying to keep us out of heaven or trying to punish us. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Here's what I love about this passage. We do not have to wait for a day to be in the presence of God, because he is here not only in our midst, but in us through our Holy Spirit. And how often do I forget that? I forget it when I'm going through a tough time. I forget it just as much when I'm, you know, the day's going good and I'm like, nice job, Greg. I'm forgetting it when my mind is going to a place that it shouldn't be in my thought life, or what I feel like I want to say to somebody while I'm driving. That may not be big to you guys, but my wife won't even put Christian music on the radio, you know, but that still is a reflection of my heart. And do I always think that God is with me? So here's our verse I want us to kind of close with. I mean, how do you hit this whole chapter? Any one of these sections? You know, we could have broke him out and, you know, we could have spent, you know, weeks on each one of these verses, let alone, you know, the eight verses we did tonight. But I could not find another passage that summed it up better than this. That when we live in a world that's filled with sin and struggle, whether we cause it or it's perpetrated upon us. And I hope you're okay, but man, I grew up with the King James. And so whenever I read this passage, I just think it has a depth to it. And here's what Paul, I think, is trying to reflect. This is what the psalmist wrote in 23:4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For God, you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God doesn't promise to take us over, around, under it, but he does promise to get us through. Man, do you really believe that God's there even in the midst of your greatest struggle? Do you believe that he's there and needs to be praised in the midst of your greatest triumph? But here's the part that we don't always read. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know what you know about shepherding. But that rod and the staff is used for so many things. For some, it's protection. For others, it's a little bit of guidance. And other times, it is a little bit of discipline. But just because we're going through a tough time does not mean that God has left us, that God hates us or is mad at us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And what if we were to go out of here this evening? And what would it look like? Not to put our faith in ourselves, or even the faith that I have in God, but I put my faith in God in all situations, in all relationships. Man, we wouldn't even have to use words to share who Jesus is. People would see us all, see it in us and on us, wouldn't they? Well, I'm a little bit of a legalist, so you guys are going to join me in that this week. So what are some next steps? And here's questions I want you guys to ask yourself. One, am I walking with God? Identify the areas of my life that I stray. Take some time this week and go, man, in what relationships, in what situations that happen, do I not reflect that I have a God that's with me and going to carry me through that? And then the last thing is, super simple, is begin your morning by giving the day to God. God, today is yours. Man, help me to serve you as you shepherd, you lead, you guide me through it all. And then at the end of the day, thank him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Just a couple of simple things. And I think it'll help us stay on course. So in a moment here, we're gonna close with a final song of worship. So as they're getting ready, one last thing I want you to do as you're looking through this, I want you to, something that helps me to remember whenever I go through a passage is identify one verse. There's no way I'm going to memorize this whole thing. But what is that one verse for you? Mine was that we are more than conquerors. And then hang on and read that verse every day this week. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that you've given us. And God, that we are more than conquerors, we thank you for that. Because it's not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of who you are, God. God, you are a loving, you are a good God that cares for us, even when we don't care for you or treat you or others well. So God, we need you to increase our faith that you are there through all things. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, your word, and God, that you bring us together as your church. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.
great song. Well, I just want to say a special thank you to Greg and Tina for coming over and spending this time with us. And the fact that they're going to be here all weekend and hang out with us, that's no small task to come into another church and to preach the Word of God. As we keep saying this whole month, why Gene is gone, we're just thankful for the men who are stepping up and bringing the Word. I hope you were able to hear the Word tonight and that you find ways that God is conquering in your life. I can pray for you one last time. Father God, I just thank you for everybody here tonight. I pray a special blessing upon the Turbans and their faithfulness, God, to answer the call. In the time of our need, Father, that they get to be blessed through it, Father, and that we are blessed too. Father, as we step out of these walls, that there is suffering going on. And it seems like the world is just closing in around us sometimes, Father, but that you are always there. Father, we just are thankful for that. That we can keep you in front of us. No matter if we're walking through the valley or the sun is shining, God, you are there all the time. Father, we just are thankful. Over and over again, thankful. Because we don't deserve it. Thank you so much, God. Thank you through your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name, amen. Church, have a good weekend. Love you. Hug somebody on the way out.